everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and
me, Raylene. What's up?
Welcome, everybody, to Isengard. No, welcome, everybody, to my birthday extravaganza. Today is my actual birthday, which is pretty freaking cool.
It's a pretty great day in history.
Because I feel like, you know, obviously we're going to have birthdays every year, but our actual, like, day of recording, it's going to be really rare that it lines up with our birthday.
Yeah, mine will not line up this year, just so everyone
knows.
Right,
exactly. So it's my birthday. I'm 26. Ladies and gentlemen, I am 26 years old, and it feels weird. I don't really like it, but it's okay.
You're over the hill now.
It's true. I'm closer to 30 than I am to 25, and that's a dark reality. So today we have a fun episode, just because I feel like I have some cool book news, and I have some cool books to talk about. But before we begin, it's a birthday, so I have a birthday present. Let me, everyone can listen to the crinkle.
Oh, that's nice.
that's the crinkle of my Amazon Prime package that was delivered yesterday. This is from Raylene. I don't know what it is, and I'm very excited, so I thought I should definitely open it on camera, well, on audio.
Nothing like an audio unboxing when you see nothing.
A little ASMR for everyone. All right. So true. All right, let me just feel what's in here. Okay, two things I can feel so far. One, actually three things. One, it's pretty thick.
Okay.
Two, it's a very slippery cover. Like, it's a shiny, it's one of those shiny reflective, yeah. You know, like. And then three is it's got embossing on the front. Ooh. However, I guess on the font also, but I meant to say front. Front. Okay. Also, I'm not sensitive enough. Oh no, it's got a horrible like Canadian cover thing where it's like I can feel the slight edge. You know what I mean? Like the cover doesn't go all the way. All right, moment of suspense. Let's see what it is.
Oh yeah. Just unveil it, please.
Man, you got it. Okay. This is actually so exciting. This is called Prodigal Summer by Barbara Kingsolver. Have you heard of this one before I sent it to you?
Not that one specifically, but I've heard of Barbara Kingsolver. Like, she,
yes.
She's a pretty well-known author.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't remember how I heard about this book at all, actually, if I'm being honest. But at some point, someone mentioned this book or I saw it somewhere, and I added it to read on Goodreads. And I've had it there for like a year, and I've been really excited about it. And the other day, Raylene was like, it's your birthday. What do you want? And I was like, well, here are five books or four books or something that I would be excited about. And this was one of them. Okay, let me explain. It weaves together three stories of human love within a larger tapestry of lives amid the mountains and farms of southern Appalachia. Over the course of one humid summer, this novel's intriguing protagonists face disparate predicaments, but find connections to one another and to the flora and fauna with which they necessarily share a place. It sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Everyone that's read, like, all the reviews I've read are like, this is beautiful. It's about humans and nature, and that's, like, something I'm really interested in, so.
That sounds cool. We get a lot of people asking for books like that in our recommendation request, too.
It's so
true. It's about nature, and we have, like, none, so that's cool that you found one.
Finally one. I will definitely also post a photo of it, because I think this is a beautiful cover.
Mm-hmm. It's simple,
so
but
green.
Beautiful.
Exactly. Simple but beautiful. Aw, thanks, man.
No problem. All you should be receiving another package today, just so you know. That wasn't the only thing.
A little plot twist. All right. Well, that's really awesome. You are a good pal to me. Guys, before we continue, also, I do need to admit how absolutely exhausted I am. It is currently 9:12 a.m., which I guess doesn't sound that early, but first of all, it's Sunday. Second of all, I don't ever wake up before 10.
It's a is an early day for us.
And for you. Thirdly, I was up so, so late last night. So I'm one of those cheesy people who likes waiting up till midnight to like for my birthday, which that's not late. But around 11:30, I said to my boyfriend, I said to Connor, hey, would you play Minecraft with me? Now, here's the situation. I have not played Minecraft since 2013. So it's been a very long time. Connor has not played Minecraft since he was like, I think I was 12.
And oh my God. Like,
okay. We were both up really late. First of all, we were up trying to freaking figure out how to download Minecraft. I got really lucky, Raylene, because obviously we used to play Minecraft together. And because I'd bought it before, like when I was 19, I didn't have to buy it again. I just got to re-download it from my account. So that was nice. But then making a server is impossible, and we completely gave up and we just paid Minecraft to do it for.
I think that's what they want you to do now.
Exactly. It's so true. It was way more simple back in the day. I'm going to say that right now. Eight years ago or whenever the hell I was. When was 2013? 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, 8 years ago. My God. Time sure does fly. Or 7 years ago. Back then, servers were easier to make. Regardless, we then stayed up till 3:30 in the morning playing Minecraft, building a cabin.
Connor loved getting materials. I had a feeling this was where this was going.
It was a great night, but it was a very, very late night. And I now feel like I am dead. I feel dead. I'm sure everyone can hear it in my voice, too. They're like, Ariel, you sound old. It's because I'm 26 and because I stayed up late.
Way too late. And as soon as you mentioned Minecraft, it just gave me a flashback to 2012, 2013 when we played together. And we played for 11 hours straight. Oh, we played through the night into the morning. It was like, whoa, the sun's coming up. What's happening? I'm still playing. God,
that was so crazy. Yeah,
Minecraft can do that to a person.
I'm not young anymore, Raylene. As we all say, as everyone knows, I turned 26 and I just can't be doing these late nights anymore.
No, as soon as midnight hit, you were just too old to be doing that. Yet there you were doing it.
There I was, like an idiot. All right, well, let's start, Raylene, with, do you have any books you want to review this week? A cool place to start.
Well, Yeah, I read a couple of books, but I chose a manga to tell you about because I want to tell you about manga too when I read it. And because I finished, well, first off, I finished one Q84, so amazing. I did a great
quick
job
thoughts,
on that.
Just tell me, like, and quick I'll just thoughts.
Give you, quick thoughts, just so you know, it was amazing. Like, it was so good. But as I was reading it too, I remember, like, I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast, but I forgot to kind of disclaimer that this book is, like, not for everyone. It is quite violent and, like, full of sex and stuff. So just be warned if, you know, people want to read this book, if you're sensitive to stuff like that. Yeah, it's very graphic in a lot of ways, and he's just, like, doesn't hold back. So be aware of that. But it is just so great. Like, my friend told me that the third kind of like the third act of the third book gets a little boring near the end, and I understand that, and it kind of was, but I was still like fully into it the whole time. Good. Just because being with these characters for 1100 pages, you get to know them so well, because there's only like two or three really like main characters, and so you get to know them really, really well, because he dives deep into their background, you know, them, how they were as children and like their upbringing and stuff, so you get to know them really, really well, and it just made me like re-remember how much I love big books for that very reason, because you just don't get to spend that much time with characters in a 300 page book. You just don't. And yeah, 1Q84 was incredible, so I highly recommend
it. I'm so happy for you. I'm really glad that it worked out. I do remember I had a similar thing with the Wind-Up Bird Chronicles, because I didn't finish that book. I read it for university, and I got like, I want to say, a third of the way through or something. And it also got extremely violent. Like, violent to the point where it was part of the reason that I put it down. Because I was like, this is a little too much for me.
Yeah, my friend said she had to, like, skim over some parts because it was so gratuitous.
Yeah, it was. That's the perfect word for it. Gratuitous. It was, it was like a segment that had to do with a war, and it was just like got very intense, and it kind of freaked me out. I was like, I don't want to read these things. All right, well, what about the manga?
Well, the manga. Okay, so I read the first two volumes of Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, which is the Japanese name, and it's by Koyoharu Gotouge. Sorry if I butchered that, but yeah, I've seen the anime for this, so I already knew what was going to happen, but I really want to read the manga because there's only one season of the show out so far, so it's kind of limited, but there's tons of volumes of manga because apparently there's like a movie in the works that's going to come out before season two, and it's all of the canon. It's very complicated. So I'm like, I'm just gonna read the books, like this is makes sense to me. So I've just started reading them, and they're so great. It's about this guy and his family basically live up in the mountains, very secluded, and he goes, you know, down from the mountain to sell coal to make money for the family. And one day he comes back up to his family and they've all been slaughtered.
No.
It's horrible. And in this world, obviously there are demons, which is why it's called Demon Slayer. And so it turns out that his family was murdered by a demon, but his sister was turned into a demon and is still alive. And so they kind of, and he wants to save her. He wants to turn her human again. And so it's all about his journey of trying to help his sister become human again. And also he trains to become a demon slayer so he can, you know, learn more about demons and also help the world because demons are kind of like the big problem in this community and world. So
wow,
it's great. I love it so much. I love people training. You know, that's one of my favorite things. I love when people do a good training montage. So I really enjoyed both these volumes. It's some of the best manga I've read in a while. Like I just really enjoyed it. It's full of action, kind of has like 90s anime feel to it, even though it's more recent. So, you know, for people who like, I mean, I haven't seen Dragon Ball Z, but maybe it's for people who like that kind of thing. I'm just guessing. If you like Naruto, maybe you'll like this. that's the extent of my old anime knowledge. But yeah, so I really, really enjoyed both of those. And I only had those two volumes. So now I'm kind of, I have to buy more. But I'll definitely do that because it was great.
Well, I love that. I love it when we read books we love.
Yes, you know? It feels good.
And actually, I have the same experience.
Oh, please.
I read a book this week that you are going to be very shocked at, I believe, because I don't think I've ever mentioned it. And it is Kim Ji-young, Born 1982 by Cho Nam-ju.
I've heard of that, but that is very random. I've never heard you talk about it.
All right, here's my tale, everybody. I was talking to my friend Monica. Monica Kim. We should have Monica on the podcast.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I love Monica. So I was chatting with Monica and she was, she's half Korean and she was recommending me books that are Korean and are from Korea because we were talking about translated fiction. Mm-hmm. I was talking about how actually I find it very difficult to find like Central American translated fiction.
Yeah.
There is some Mexican fiction, which is cool, but I'm not Mexican. I am Honduran, and it's just, you know what? Different areas of the world have different things going on and different priorities when it comes to art, and there just isn't really a publishing scene in the way that we imagine a publishing scene in Central America. But it's like not just because they don't have publishing doesn't mean they don't have other things going on, right? But I feel like it's important to say that for some reason. But yeah, I was just talking about how it's like it's impossible to find translated Honduran fiction.
Yeah,
like there's like two. There's two, and one of them is from a guy who was like American and moved to Honduras. You know what I mean? Like it's like it's just not a thing really, and so I hope that it gets better. It's not that people in Honduras aren't writing necessarily, but it's just, you know, the it's on infrastructure, isn't it? So anyway, we were talking about that and she was talking about how recently she's been very excited that the Korean translated fiction scene is getting stronger and stronger, and she was like, and I was telling her that I'd read The Vegetarian, and she was like, well, I think you would actually really like this book. Like I mentioned, Kim Ji-young, Born 1982. It's a very strange title. I don't know if it works as a title, in my opinion. it's kind of confusing, but it's just saying that, like, it's basically saying, like, this woman who was born in 1982. Mm-hmm. Raylene LeMay, born 1994.
Thank you. That's a great title. I should write a book.
But I looked up the, she was telling me that this book was very controversial in Korea and that it kind of stirred a lot of controversy because it's basically a feminist, like a hard feminist text.
Oh, okay.
And so the back just really puts it perfectly. It's very short. Kim Ji-young is a girl born to a mother whose in-laws wanted a boy, a daughter whose father blames her when she's harassed late at night, a model employee but gets overlooked for promotion, a wife who gives up her career and independence for a life of domesticity. Kim Ji-young is depressed. She started acting out. She is her own woman. She is insane. She is sent by her husband to a psychiatrist. This is her clinical assessment.
Whoa, that sounds so good.
Yes, yes. I think the back puts it really, really well. So this is, and I actually sent like a little message to my patrons being like reviewing this, and this character is the most average character you can possibly imagine.
Mm.
Like, Ji-young is not extraordinary. She's not special. She's not very particularly unique in any way. Mm-hmm. She's very, very middle of the road average. She was absolutely not wealthy, but she wasn't like living on the streets. She was the middle of three children. She went to school. She went to university. It was really difficult for her family to afford university, but it wasn't impossible. You know what I mean? Like, everything in her life is middle of the road. It was really hard for her to find a job, but she found a job.
Yeah.
And so it's middle of the road. She's had a lot of hard times, but she also is like privileged in certain ways. But I think that's exactly the point. The point is that this is just an average Korean woman, and she faces sexism every step of the way.
Mm, yeah.
And this book does one thing that I have never seen before in fiction. It has citations. It has footnotes. And obviously, I've seen footnotes before. I've lots of books have footnotes where it'll be like the author adding some more information about the character or something. But this has footnotes during the actual book that cite real life, like our world, whoa, not fiction, studies.
Oh.
And science and facts. So, for example, she's talking about how the book starts when she's born, and you understand a little bit about her parents and her grandparents, and then it goes through her whole life until she's like being assessed. So it says, this was a time when the government had implemented birth control policies called family planning to keep population growth under control. Abortion due to medical problems had been legal for 10 years at that point, and checking the sex of the fetus and aborting females was commonplace, as if daughter was a medical problem. Footnote. That is from Statistical Family by Park Jae-yun, 2015, Roots of Misogyny, from CISA in Magazine. So it's like literally, yeah, like that. It's like, so it's like, so this really made me think a lot about George Orwell. He has this like really famous essay, Why I Write, mm-hmm, right? And he talks about how he writes to bring the political and art together. Like, that's his mission. He wants to bring political change and political thought through his art. And, like, make it art, but make it, yeah, political. And I was like, this is the most not subtle, but very powerful way of doing that. Of being like, this is a fictional story. It is a narrative of a woman who's just living in Korea. She's not a real woman. But every time that something bad happens to her, the author is like, and this happens to women. Here's, yeah, my, wow, facts. So it was really interesting in that way. And I learned a lot about the current state in Korea. And it kind of, you know, tracks a history because she's born in 1982. Right. So it's not like she's born right now and she's dealing with things. Things get better throughout the book, but they don't like get fixed. You know?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And here's the craziest part, that I haven't done this in so long. I read this book in two sittings. Yes. I started it one night. I really was enjoying it. And then the next night I finished it. I was up like till 1 a.m. finishing it because I really enjoyed it. So I love also because I don't know how to sleep. I forget how to sleep. It's really upsetting by not sleeping. But I really liked the book. So it was really thought provoking. Thank you to Monica, who I'm sure isn't listening, but thank you to Monica for recommending it to me. And I now recommend it to all of you.
Wow, that's great. I love getting a random book rec that just happens to be amazing.
Yeah. All right. Before I ask you what you're currently reading, I actually realized, I just remembered I have two pieces of news.
Okay.
The first piece of news is that we are moving the episode release dates to Sundays. So there's been some controversy lately about what's going on here, because we moved it to Thursdays and then we moved it to Fridays and now we're moving it again to Sundays. We apologize. We're just trying to figure out the best schedule for us and for our team. And we figured out what worked best for us, and then we didn't realize that CJ, who edits our episodes, needs time to edit the episodes. So
yeah, gotta be fair to the editor.
Yeah, and so that they go out early on Patreon and everything. So they will now be released on Sundays, just so that everyone knows. All right, yeah. With that exciting news out of the way, Raylene, what are you currently reading? I'm excited to tell you what I'm currently reading.
I'm currently reading a really random book. So I bought a bunch of books the other day because it just felt like it, and then I started reading one of them right away, which is kind of fun. And so the book I'm reading right now is called The Need by Helen Phillips.
Ooh, I've never heard of it.
Quite pretty. It's a random, it's very strange and random. It's like a domestic thriller horror sci-fi book, which is like, okay, sounds like a lot, but Emily St. John Mandel likes this book. Her blurb on the front says, an extraordinary and dazzlingly original work from one of our most gifted and interesting writers. Gosh. Something else fun about this book is it has a 3.1 average rating on Goodreads, so very low.
Controversial
book. It has very, very mixed reviews because it's very strange. It's about this woman who
is... What was it called again, sorry?
The Need.
Okay, I'm looking it up on Goodreads.
Yeah, look it up. It's about
what the people are saying.
A lot of people hate this book. But I'm really liking it so far. It's about this woman named Molly who, at the beginning of the book, like from page one, she's home alone with her two kids who are like a baby and 4 years old, basically. And there's someone in her house. And it's like, there's an intruder. And that's how the book starts.
Classic.
Super stressful right from the get-go. And, but she's kind of like, is there an intruder or isn't there? Because she's kind of has these moments in her life where she like, hears something and assumes it's one thing, but it's something else. Like she'll hear like a siren and she'll think it's her baby crying, but she's like, oh no, it's just a siren, it's fine. So she's like kind of questions her own self, like she doesn't know, is there actually someone in the house or am I just imagining it? Mm-hmm. And so there's like these really stressful opening chapters where you feel like there's something here, but maybe there isn't. But so yeah, it's got like a really weird vibe to it. And I know, like, I've discovered some of the weird sci-fi aspects to it. I can understand how some people would be like, what the hell is going on? I don't understand this at all. But I'm like, this makes sense to me. I read sci-fi. I know what's going on.
Interesting. Okay. I've seen some pretty hilarious things. Someone named Mackie writes, sadly, I had no need for The Need.
Scathing.
Somebody else wrote, Sue wrote, help. I don't know where to start. I just read reviews on this book, and I'm now thinking I'm kind of dumb. I just didn't get it, in quotation marks. But I also like this one. This person gave it 5 stars, and they wrote, if Coraline was written from the mom's point of view and was dark as fuck, it would be this. So
yeah,
that's interesting.
I can see that.
And that kind of, to me, gives me a good sense of the vibe.
Yeah, that's true. And without actually, like, telling you the plot and like what's going on, it's kind of sneaky. Because this book also reminds me of another book that I really like, but if I were to mention it, it would spoil a whole bunch of things that happen in this book, just because they have like a similar aspect to them. So I can't tell you what book it is, but it's another sci-fi thriller that I really like, if anybody can decode that. Because this one is just like, it starts out like a thriller, it starts out like it's just a horror book, but then it's like, oh, something strange is happening.
Something is amiss.
So people might go into it expecting a thriller, and it's like, it is a thriller, but it's also other than that. So
that's a fun thing to be reading right now, kind of Halloween-y.
I'm really in the mood for spooky stuff right now, so that's kind of, this is the beginning of my spooky stuff journey. Actually, that reminds me, I have a TBR challenge.
When
would be
God.
A good time to
CJ,
mention TBR challenge?
Music.
I was like, we need to bring it back. So yeah, I decided. I have two books that I've decided that are going to be the next two books I read.
I'm already so excited.
I'll start with the one that thematically makes sense because we were just talking about scary books. Okay. I am going to pick up next. Oh. 172 Hours on the Moon by Johan Harstad.
Okay, I will too.
We have to. It's a reread. We'll be reading it right at the beginning of October, yes. Which is perfect. And it's been like 100 years since we read it, so I feel like this is great.
It's been 172 years since we read it.
Yes, exactly. And I'm just excited to see if it's still as scary as it was the first time we read it. Because it was really scary. And it's similar where it's like, it's sci-fi horror. I love that because it's like, it's on the moon. The moon is freaking crazy, and more crazy shit happens. So, yeah, I really want to read that because I'm just like, you know what? Let's just dive into an old favorite. And then this is completely random, but a book that one of my friends... I met up for coffee with one of my friends recently, and I was like, what is the best book you've read in the past few months? Mm. And she said Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson. So I've decided to finally pick it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Completely different from horror books, but I mean,
a different type of horror, I guess.
Exactly. That's the thing, too. It's like, it is about horrific things. It's not that I'm trying to liken it to Halloween in any way, but...
No. It's just not in a spooky way at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been kind of craving nonfiction for the past little while. Like, I've just been reading fiction quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly have this urge where I'm like, I need to read about something real. Like, I need to learn something. So I am finally going to read this because I've also been wanting to watch the movie. And I just, like I said, I just want to read something real. It's been too long, so.
Yeah. Well, I like that. Actually, my currently reading very much mirrors your currently reading, like, intensely. Whoa. So I'm currently reading two things. The first one, I'm just not going to mention the George Orwell biography because I'm going to be reading that for the foreseeable future. So I'll just talk to you again when I finish it.
Sounds good.
But the two things that, like, I'm more actively currently reading. The first one is Watch Over Me by Nina LaCour. This is Nina LaCour's brand new book that came out on September 8th. It has this really beautiful cover art that is also on the inside of the dust jacket. It's like this, it kind of looks like Marie Antoinette-esque woman, old-timey woman, but this is, have you heard about this one at all?
No, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, so this is like her follow-up to, what was it, Hold Still? Was that the name of the book? No.
Yeah, that was her first book, wasn't it?
Why did that book come to mind? No, what was her last one called?
It's leaving my brain at this moment.
We know this. We're smart.
We are okay.
Yes.
Jesus.
So that book, this feels very similar. I kind of feel, I guess I haven't read her other book, so maybe this is what all of her books are like, but it's very meditative, calm, quiet, short. It's 260 pages.
Nice.
But basically this is about a girl who has just turned 18. And because of turning 18, she is now aged out of the foster care system. Her parents died when she was a kid, but I don't remember exactly how old. It seemed like she was like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. It's like she remembers her parents very clearly. And it was like this horrible trauma that happened in her past. And then she ended up in the foster care system. And she's now, like I said, she's now turned 18. So she's now leaving her foster care family. They didn't adopt her. And she has gotten this opportunity, this kind of strange, but in her opinion, like, amazing opportunity to teach at a farm. So there's this farm that's a little bit like a commune, but I'm hesitant to use that word because that makes people think of, like, cults. But it's just kind of, you know, like a, I guess, an alternative living community, maybe is a better way to put it. There's, like, a couple of people that own this farm. And they adopted a bunch of children that were in the foster care system. And because of that, the community kind of grew as those kids grew up. And then they just kept adopting kids. So it's kind of become like a place to help kids. And so because they have all these kids, they need teachers. So they've hired her to teach the youngest kids. And she gets to live on the farm. And, like, they have these, like, little cabins. So already all of this was, to me, very alluring because, like, my dream is to live, like, on a hobby farm in the woods kind of thing. And so she moves here, but there's what she sees on her first night is ghosts. So this is supposed to be like a ghost story, like a modern ghost story. I am on page 55 and I'm only sort of liking it so far. I don't feel like much has happened. I feel like it's very vague. So it is fun to be reading something ghosty, and that's why I feel like it's very similar to you reading something spooky-ish. But I'm not loving it. The second thing that I'm reading is a nonfiction book. And it is, I'm so excited about it. It is More Than a Woman by Catlin Moran. Do you remember me talking a long time ago about How to Be a Woman by Catlin Moran?
Yeah, the audiobook you recommended.
Yes, I definitely have I've reviewed that on the podcast before. It was it's honestly one of the best audiobooks I've ever listened to. It's because Catlin Moran is so absolutely hilarious, and she does her own audiobook, and she obviously wrote this really funny book and then performed it in a really funny way. And I don't remember what happened. It was either on Instagram or an email or something. I got some sort of some delivery of information that was like Catlin Moran's new book, the spiritual successor to that book, is coming out next week. And I literally screamed. I had no idea that this book was coming out. And it's the kind of thing that's like, it's not going to save 2020, but it's going to really help 2020. And so I got it as an audiobook again.
Oh, good.
And I started listening to it the other day when I was on a drive, and I was running errands, and I just started it on my way into town. And Raylene, I was laughing so hard that I almost had to pull the car over because it was my stomach was hurting so bad, and I was tears were streaming down my face. And I was like, I am not a safe driver right now. I wasn't distracted. I was just laughing so hard. It just feels like coming home to Catlin Moran's voice and her bizarre, crazy brain. So How to Be a Woman they're both sort of memoir-y books. How to Be a Woman was Catlin Moran's story of growing up in the Midlands, which... this is not a perfect analogy, but the Midlands is kind of the Midwest of America, or growing up in very rural Canada or something. Like, you can't get as rural in England. I always think about this, in Canada, if you get dropped in the woods and you walk the wrong way, it's very possible that you will never escape the forest.
Yeah.
But in England, if you just walk for a few hours, you'll hit a town. You'll be fine. for a few days, get through, you'll get to another town and you'll see people. It's just not that big. And there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's the Midlands. It's not as rural, but it's more suburban-y, but it's still their kind of version of that. And so the first book is her story of growing up there and becoming a teenager and what that's like, and, becoming a woman. And then getting into her 20s and what her 20s were when she wrote it, she was 34-ish, so that was her perspective, How to Be a Woman. And then in this book, it's 10 years later or something, and she's I thought I knew how to be a woman. Ha ha ha. Very funny. And the book starts with this really adorable sequence of her, when she's writing the first book, gets visited by her from the future.
Oh my god.
And her from the future, who's only 10 years older than her, she's she looks so old, and and she's I'm here to warn you about the future, you don't know what's coming. And it's this really cute sequence, and then it cuts to the actual book, and she's talking about what being a woman who has children and is going through middle age and all this stuff. It's so funny. It's so relatable. Even as a person who isn't a middle-aged woman, it's just so relatable and funny and interesting. I love it. I really recommend it for anyone who's needs a nonfiction audiobook that's some fun, a little more, not really nonfiction-y, I'm gonna learn, more nonfiction-y, I just want to have a laugh. That is the book. It is so, I'm so excited about it. If you haven't listened to the first one, start there, and then I'm so excited that you now have the sequel.
Wow, I'm convinced. I think I'll have to listen to both of them in a row.
Yes, I think you have to. I think you'd really like them.
It sounds like a good time. Doesn't really fit my dark vibe that I'm going for right now, but maybe I need that little bit of light to get me through
exactly.
It.
Yes, exactly. All right, well, it's time for us to get into book news. All right, Raylene, I have two pieces of book news this week. What is your book news this week?
Okay, my book news is not really news per se. It's just some September releases that people may have missed.
Ooh, I like this. I think you did this last time too, and it was good for me.
Yeah, like
I don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Anymore.
I have no idea about new releases anymore because I'm not constantly on Goodreads or looking at Instagram like I was before. And so now I just don't hear about new books unless I search it out myself. So the first on the list came out at the beginning of September. A new book by Yag Yassi, who wrote Homegoing. It's called Transcendent Kingdom. Has a very cool looking cover.
Yes, I've seen this boy.
Yeah.
It does have a cool cover.
Yeah, and I had no idea that this was coming out. So it's very interesting that that just happens to be out now. Another big one is Anxious People by Frederick Bachman. Frederick Bachman is well known for A Man Called Uwe, Beartown, etc. So this is a new book by him, and I'm just reading the synopsis here. This sounds crazy. When a failed bank robber bursts into an apartment open house, he decides to take all eight guests hostage. With tensions high and rising, the hostages begin to realize they have a lot more in common than they would have ever imagined, and the bank robber begins to wonder what's worse, facing the police or dealing with these people any longer.
That reminds me so much of that movie, The Ref. Have you seen The Ref? It's a really old movie. It stars Kevin Bacon?
He's in everything. So yeah, surely it stars Kevin.
Wait, is it Kevin Bacon? Yeah, it totally is. But I don't think it's called The Ref. Is it called The Referee? Oh, God.
Know.
Okay, it's a Christmas movie. And it's, I've got to find the right name for this movie because everyone, I mean, we're in Halloween times, but this movie is so much fun. It's about a very similar situation where Kevin Bacon plays this, oh my God, it's not Kevin Bacon. It's Dennis Leary. I confuse those two. They look the same. They really do look the same. It's about this criminal who breaks into this house to try and get away from the cops.
Okay.
And he stumbles into this exact kind of situation where it's this bickering kind of old, middle-aged couple who have a kid. And they just are basically on the edge of divorce. It's called The Ref. It is called The Ref.
Okay.
It is a Christmas movie because it all happens over Christmas.
God. Whoa, that's
so
crazy.
Yeah, he breaks in and he holds them hostage on Christmas Eve. And the film, at the beginning, it's about this guy who's just trying to commit this crime. I forget what he's doing. He's stealing. I think he's trying to steal this house. Or thieve this house. But in the end, it's about reconciling their marriage.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
And coming together during Christmas. But it's actually really, really good. I really recommend it. It's from 1994. It's from our birth year.
Oh, perfect.
I really recommend it to people. I think everyone should watch it if you're looking for a weird kind of alternative Christmas movie. It's not cheery and Christmassy,
yeah, that's,
but
that's
it's
perfect
fun
for me.
Yeah. All right. That was a random rec. I apologize.
That's great. I love random movie recs thrown in. Let's see. There's a couple more books worth mentioning on this list. So David Chang has a new book out called Eat a Peach, and it's a memoir. He's a big restaurant mogul / chef. And
Is he Momofuku?
I was gonna say most people have probably heard of him or seen him on some or other cooking show. He's great.
Yeah.
So this is a memoir about him, obviously, and growing up. He's the son of Korean immigrants and grew up in Virginia. And it's his story about growing up, dealing with depression and anxiety, and also creating a restaurant. So that seems like it would be really interesting. The cover is also beautiful for this one. It's like a guy on a big mountain with an enormous peach and he's pushing it up a huge mountain. So
I tried to go to his restaurant.
Oh, really?
And it was so busy. The wait time was so long that this is one of the greatest nights of my life. Let me tell you this quick little story here. I was at a Buffer Festival, which is a YouTube film festival in Toronto. And I was with some of my YouTube friends who I love and I rarely get to see. And we were let's go out for a nice meal. Mm-hmm. And we were we've all wanted to try Momofuku, which is the name of his main restaurant chain. And there was one in Toronto. So we were let's go there. So We went and the wait line was insane. And it was like a Friday or a Saturday night in Toronto, like right downtown. So it was like really hard to find a place. And we were like, okay, let's just try going to the Cactus Club. So we were like, you know what? Let's be smart. Let's call ahead. We call. They were like, we have one table for this many people. It was like six people.
Yeah.
And we were like, hold it. We can walk there in 10 minutes. And they're like, all right. So we go over and they've given our table away. And we were like, oh, this is a nightmare. And now we were like, we've been walking around Toronto for too long and we were all really hungry. Yeah. We're like, oh, this is a nightmare. And I call my friend, and I'm like, my friend Andrew Huang, who is a YouTuber, if anyone has, he's a wonderful, wonderful individual. He's just one of these people who I don't get to see that often, and I almost feel like a bit of an imposter calling him my friend, but I have slept at his house, so I feel like he's, yeah. That man has served me waffles. I feel that he is my friend. we called him because he was gonna come and he was just a bit late, and we were like, hey, Momofuku was sold out, we're now at the Cactus Club, but they gave away our table. And he's like, okay, one second. And we were like, huh? And then he just kind of hung up, and it turned out that his cousin was one of the head chefs at the Cactus Club downtown Toronto. And we got this table, we got this massive free meal with all of these like fun experimental dishes. The chef would come out and he would be like, hey, we want you to try this, and he'd give us this like weird plate of thing, and we'd try it, and it was all so good and free, and it was just like, wow, one of the most fun restaurant experiences I have ever had in my life. I felt like a VIP. Like, that's never happened to me before, and it will never happen to me again. Yeah. It was just really, really cool. But anyway, that's what I think of when I think of David Chang.
I'm that makes like, sense. It has a story attached.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't get to go to your restaurant, but then I had a wonderful night.
So it's okay. Okay,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'll just quickly blast through the last couple here.
I've got to stop telling
you
stories.
You got to stop telling a story for every book. I didn't realize my book news would trigger so many memories for you. So Ruth Ware has a new book out called One by One, which I don't really care about because I don't really care about thrillers so much. But good for her. She just blasts them out, man. She has new books all the time. The cover is really cool, too. It looks like it takes place on a snowy mountain.
Okay.
There's also a new book out by Sigrid Nunez called What Are You Going Through? So this is the same author who wrote The Friend, which was really popular 2 years ago or maybe a year ago.
And
this one has a cat on it, so I might have to look a little further into this to see if it's a cat book.
The Friend has a dog on it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
maybe
that.
Maybe she's just slowly depicting her pets through her cover.
Perhaps. Okay, and then another exciting one, well, might be exciting to some people. Christopher Paolini has a new book out called To Sleep in a Sea of Stars, which looks really cool, actually, for those who don't know him by name. He wrote Aragon as a teenager, and now he's probably old. Not a teenager anymore. But that was what his claim to fame was writing a dragon book. And then, let's see, the last one on the list here is...
It's amazing because he was 16 when that book, when Aragon was first published.
Yeah.
He wrote it when he was, like, 13,
that's
14.
That's so cool.
And then, you know, it went through editing and publishing, and it came out when he was 16, which is, there's a movie about it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Good job,
cool.
Kid.
Good job.
Let's see. There's a couple more here. Ali Brosh's new book is finally out, Solutions and Other Problems. She wrote Hyperbole and a Half, and this book has been, we've been waiting for it for a long time. I think it went through some problems with publishing for the past few years, so it's been delayed, but it's finally out, came out on the 22nd, so I might have to get my hands on that because I really liked her first book.
I just looked up Christopher Paolini because I wanted to, like, I just imagined for some reason that he's always going to be 16.
That's what I was thinking too.
I looked him up and he looks like he's like 40. He's got like this huge beard. And he's 36 now. So, which is funny because it means he's been in the publishing world for 20 years, right?
But he's so young.
He published his first book when he was 16, but 36 is still really young.
Whoa.
Like, that's so interesting.
Has it really been 20 years since Aragon came out?
Well, I guess so, if the first book came out when he was 16.
What the heck? The last book on my list here actually comes out in a couple of days as of recording this right now. Naomi Novik has a new book out called A Deadly Education. She's the one who wrote Uprooted and the other one that I forget the name of right now, but another fantasy book. Let's see what the synopsis says. Ooh, sounds crazy, actually. This might be good for Harry Potter fans who are looking for something else. Let's see. The school is called Sholomance. That's weird. Sholomance is a school for the magically gifted, but there are no teachers, no holidays, and failure means certain death. Students can't leave until they graduate or die. However, when a powerful girl named Elle shows up at Sholomance, she begins to unlock its secrets. Fans of Hogwarts should check out A Deadly Education for a good dose of dark magic and mystery. Well, that's cool. I love magic schools. That's one of my favorite things, so I might actually have to give this a try. I've never read any of her books.
I was just looking up when Aragorn was published. It came out in 2002. And so I was like, oh, so they're wrong. That was only like 10 years ago. And then I remembered that that was 20 years ago. That was 18 years ago.
18 That's years ago. Yeah, so pretty close.
Nuts. I'm getting to that point where like, and my mom was telling me about this the other, I'm sorry. Why are all these memories coming to me? I'm so sorry, really. My mom was, it was just as short. She was just saying like, in her mind, because she was born in the 60s, she's like the 70s feel like kind of a long time ago. She's like, but the 80s feel like they weren't that long ago. And she's like, the 90s feel like they just happened. And if I feel like we're still in the early 2000s. And
I still think that all the time.
Yeah, I still think that all the time when people are like, you know, oh, that movie came out like all the way back in 2012. I'm like, that wasn't that long ago. And then I'm like, that was 8 years ago. I'm so old. We entered high school like 14 years ago. Am I doing math right? I don't know. 12 years ago we entered high school. Like, God, we're old. Jesus. We're old.
It's just going to get worse, Ariel. We got to stop thinking about it.
Well, I enjoyed your, obviously, I really enjoyed your book news. I don't know. I really had a great time just now. I have two pieces of book news. Okay. They're more like book information.
Okay.
The first is about a book release. Somebody on Instagram messaged me and they were like, Ariel, did you know that Donal Ryan has a new book out? And I was like, the hell? I did not. So he does, and it just came out, and it's called Strange Flowers, and it has a beautiful cover, just beautiful cover. Strange Flowers, Donal Ryan, who wrote one of my favorite books, All We Shall Know. I don't know why I didn't
forgot it. I was for
looking
a second.
At this, I'm just looking at this Guardian article that tells about the book, and instead of putting the cover of the book, they just put this picture of horses. Okay. And I'm like looking at these horses, and I don't know. I got a little hypnotized there. But so this it takes place in the 70s, and it's about a girl who goes missing. And her parents are obviously devastated and are like, all right, many years go by and they're like, our daughter's gone, and they're mourning her. But then she comes back. Nice. So she's gone for 5 years. And it's about kind of like what this does to the family and everything. So it sounds very emotional actually, mm-hmm. but I'm excited and I'll have to check it out. And then my other piece of book news is, I just had to do that one because I'm a huge supporter of my man Donal Ryan. He emailed me once, so we're basically married. my best friend of sorts. This other piece of book news is basically, Raylene, just for you.
Okay.
So I was like, I will gladly tell this to everyone on the podcast, but this is mainly for you. I found out the craziest news ever. It's so strange, and I had to tell you. Our favorite band is Mother Mother,
mm-hmm.
right? We love Mother Mother. If you guys haven't heard Mother Mother, oh my God, correct that. Go to Spotify or wherever you listen to music, type in Mother Mother and listen to the album that has the fish on the
cover. I was just going to say, you have to recommend Oh My Heart. That's the best place to start for sure.
It's the best place to start to get a sense of what they're like. But I don't know how I found this out, but it turns out that Ryan Guldamond, who is the main guy in the band, he like plays guitar and sings, and whose sister is also on the band, mm-hmm. Molly, they have a mom, obviously. their mom has a bookshop. She owns a bookshop on Vancouver Island.
Excuse me?
And I was like so excited and surprised. So it's not on Vancouver Island proper. It's one of the little islands. Yeah, it's from Quadra. It's on Quadra Island.
That's where they're from.
I don't know all of the islands and stuff, and so I don't really know how you get around. Like, obviously, you take a boat. You get a boat. I think there's a ferry. I think there's a ferry from Vancouver Island to Quadra Island, but she owns a bookshop. The bookshop is called Book Bonanza, and we have to go.
I was just going to say, this is just the start of a new adventure. We're obviously going to have to go to it sometime.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some sort of an adventure episode where we make our way to Quadra Island and go to...
Podcast the whole way there. We're like, here we are. We're on the boat. We're on our way.
Listen to the ocean sounds.
That sounds fun.
I just thought that was really fun. Really weird and random. But we definitely have to go. I was looking up reviews of the store.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a really bizarrely low rating. And I was like, you know, I sometimes trust Google reviews, but sometimes you got to take them with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And I was reading through and all the reviews were really good. They're really like 4 or 5 stars. People are like, beautiful bookshop, loved this, visiting this bookshop, blah, 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 great mm-hmm. selection. But then there's like a bunch of parents that are angry because the bookshop doesn't let kids touch the books. Like, so obviously... They must have had some sort of horrible occurrence where a bunch of kids came in and destroyed some books, which fair enough. They were then like, okay, no more kids can touch books. But there's all these angry parents in the Google reviews. And I kind of hate that because like clearly they're just like trying to protect their stock from children who are, let's be honest, very destructive.
Yeah. Back when I worked in a bookstore, kids would just grab books and throw them on the ground and then walk all over them. And the parents wouldn't do anything. And we were like, excuse me, could you not step on the books? Like,
oh my God.
So. Well, that's a great policy because it drove us nuts.
Yeah, well, and this is what I mean. So they did this policy and there's like 6 parents who are all like, I can't believe my daughter, whatever, can't touch the book. And I'm like, well, yeah, because it's destructive.
Yes,
so
seriously.
It's all right. You can show the book to your kid if you want.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Chapters, which is run by a giant corporation, and it's going to be fine. This is an indie bookshop. But anyway, so don't, to all my friends out there on Quadra Island, don't get distracted by those insane reviews. I'm sure it's a wonderful bookshop. Yeah, so I just thought that was kind of fun news.
That is fun news.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much to everyone for listening and for supporting us. You know, it's been a pretty crazy time with COVID. And as I've mentioned before, I'm being evicted. It's become a nightmare kind of a pandemic mm-hmm. situation. And so I'm just very grateful to everyone who supports us on Patreon. And listen to the episodes because this is like the best job in the whole world. So if you want to support us on Patreon, you can head over to our website or to patreon.com/booksunbound. This has been Books Unbound with your hosts Ariel and Raylene. This episode was edited by CJ Bissett of northernsoundhouse.ca, and our community manager is Mars Grove. We are now off to record Books Unbucket. This week, I'm asking you, Raylene, when you go to a bookshop, what is your routine? How do you approach a bookshop? Because I have a couple very specific things that I always do.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm excited to hear what your bookshop experiences are like. If you want to check that out, like I said, go on over to our Patreon. Thank you so much. And we will, I was about to say happy birthday to you. I was like, and happy birthday, Raylene. It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday, Ariel.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.